So next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King, which means the end of the liturgical year. And so the reading today, and certainly next week, is about the end times. What is this business of the end times? Well, to Jews, those Jews that believed in the resurrection of the dead thought that if God raised anybody, that was the beginning of the end, that the completion of the drama of earthly life is going to be ended, was going to take place, and God would establish justice for all of us human beings. The kingdom of God would arrive. So that's why they use this passage from Mark. Mark's gospel is very interesting. Scholars argue about whether this was written in 69 or 70 or 71, and those dates are extremely important because in the year 70, Jerusalem was destroyed by the armies of Caesar. And at that time, of course, the followers of Jesus thought they were just Jews, just Reformed Jews. And so they believed that if Jerusalem was gone, the end was near. And so we have all of this ominous stuff in Mark about the end time, which was always to be preceded by some great suffering, by some great turmoil. So he talks about these cosmic signs, all these metaphors about the final drama. Okay, so that's the context of this passage. But then what does this have to do with us? Oh, come on. Come on, it's 2,000 years. Nothing's happened. We don't think about the end. I never think about the end, I don't think. Life is, for me, like most people, as the great Fred Allen said, one damn thing after another. And there's no end in sight. You know? It's going to continue and continue and continue, and there you are. But you know, we take the very heart of the message of Jesus. We deaden it if we don't believe in the end time. That is, that God really will do justice to all of us human beings. That the massive inequities which mark human existence today will be overcome. That those millions and billions of nameless, faceless, poor people who've died of hunger or violence, that we and they will constitute a single community in justice and truth and love and peace. It seems to me that once we have loosened what has been called that eschatological tension between the not yet and the already and the not yet, Jesus raised the rest of us not yet. We denature, I think, the Christian fact. Because as I said, the world's been trudging along in the same brutal, violent way for millennia. And there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. But if there's not an end in sight for us human beings, again, we've slackened that tension within which our lives ought to be lived. So, I've been fretting over this for a long time, but these readings again sort of reignited my distress over the fact that I am quite content, reasonably content, to just tolerate the prolongation of the status quo. Not wonderful, but it's all right. I'm all right. But to the extent that I see that I'm all right, I think I'm blinded to the fact that most of the world is not all right. And when that happens, we're in big trouble, I think. It's a parenthetical comment. Mark, Nancy was kind enough to give me this article. Jesus was a capitalist, or was Jesus a capitalist? I don't know whether any of you saw it. It's outrageous. quoted the head of the Bank of England or Barclays Bank, and I've heard this several times, that I am doing God's work in making money. You know, that's the end that we have substituted for this cosmic and universal justice. If I'm making money, then I'm doing God's work. That's rubbish, folks. That's absolute rubbish. And if you look at those texts which they use from the Bible, the parable of the talents, for example. Well, God's interested in good investments. That's what's going on here. No, God's not interested in good investments. God's interested in people expending their energy as human beings to fulfill their own human destiny. And their own human destiny is, again, the achievement of equity among us human beings who live so inequitably and comfortably. So, I'm afraid, at least for me. So what do we do? How do we break through that? I mean, this is an existential question for me. I don't know. I don't know how to reinvigorate that eschatological tension. A couple modest suggestions. It can help us to be aware, as we look at our daily routine, as to whether or not what we do, how we live, really does contribute to the achievement of the kingdom of God. I've got my agenda, of course. And my agenda, most of the time, simply ignores the kingdom of God, this radical justice that God calls us to. This radical peace and equity to which we human beings are supposed to be drawn by the God who has no favorites. Who has no favorites. But I think, and I've even tried it when I remember this week, to think, okay, Project, what has happened to the increase in the world of justice, of honesty, of courage, of truth, of love, from what you've done? Or where is it absent from what you've done? I think that's, at least I find it when I try it, a reasonable and useful exercise. We used to have the pattern, I don't know whether people observe it, and I don't, but I'm going to start again, the end of the day, an assessment of the day. You know, how did the day go? Usually a pretty nondescript, pretty platitudinous phenomenon. But I think if we really do believe that God is going to ultimately do justice to all of us human beings who've ever lived, then it is possible to make that assessment at the end of the day by asking, where have I been vis-a-vis the kingdom today? What have I done? What have I contributed to the quantum of justice and love and truth and courage in this world? That's a reasonable exercise, I think. And it's a doable exercise, as long as we keep it in mind. But that's why these readings from Mark and the rest of the evangelists, who wrote long after the destruction of the temple and when they figured Jesus was not going to come back right away, although Paul, to the day he died, figured that he would be around when Jesus was sent back from God to do justice. But for us, who bear the weight of 2,000 years of unmitigated movement in whatever direction, you know, it's not the movement toward the kingdom, I don't think. But that's what we are called to as followers of this man, Jesus. We are to move in our own lives. We are to create a greater sensitivity to the profound inequities in our world. We are therefore to respond to them. That's what life is supposed to be.